present the News Quiz with your host, Miles Jupp.
Welcome to the News Quiz. We start with a cutting from Leicester local paper, The Journal, read by Corrie Caulfield.
Last year, a total of 58 stray dogs were collected by the council, with 38 of those not having a collar. Any stray dogs collected from Thursday, April the 5th, without a collar and tag will be prosecuted.
Our thanks to Stephen Feldman for sending that in. Now, let's meet the teams. Will you welcome first, on my right, Jeremy Hardy and Kerry Godleyman. And opposite them, on my left, Michael Deacon and stand-up comedian Felicity Ward. Jeremy, whose cards can't be put on the table?
The Windrush generation. Now, this is a very sad and disturbing story about people of Commonwealth heritage who are British having to leave the country because their papers they suddenly find aren't in order. Now, this is all because of Theresa May's hostile environment. The Tories came in 2010 and they wanted a hostile environment towards illegal immigrants. And illegal just doesn't mean you're a criminal. You know, it's not serious like video piracy. Illegal immigrants just means you haven't got the right papers or someone in officialdom doesn't take to you. That's all it means. But she wanted to create a hostile environment because it's, you know, the opinion polls indicated that there was concern about levels of immigration. But the trouble is, when you pander to people's fears, you do not allay them, you stoke those fears, and you provide cover to racist organisations like Britain First and the Home Office. So then, we had this period, which was still going on, where people can't rent flats because, you know, people don't want to rent them, and people have been denied surgery because of this. And weeks and weeks ago, Corbyn raised the issue of a gentleman who was denied cancer treatment to Theresa May in the Commons, and she didn't really get the point of it. And she normally ends up, in any reply to Corbyn, it normally ends up either with a dig at the NHS in Wales, for which he is not responsible because the Welsh Labour Party is not under his leadership directly, or she makes a dig about something that was done by the last Labour government, which was egregious, which kind of makes his case for being the leader now. But of course, he can't really say, I know they were rubbish, that's why I'm here, because most of his MPs don't agree with that. But what... So I think it's and it's all rebounded, and now they're having to say, oh no, we love these people, they've done all this work and we didn't mean it. And she's had to make a speech where she said, when I spoke in 2013 and said, I think you lot should all bugger off back where you come from, I had no idea that it would rebound in this way. She also signed off the racist van which went round North London. We wouldn't part with it in South London, but... This van, although one of her mates said, oh no, she was in the lav when it happened. She missed that. She was on holiday. She was on holiday and they did it when she was away. The racist van that went round North London with Go Home on the side of it. And her only comment about that was that it was something of a blunt instrument. I didn't even know it was supposed to hit people. I thought it was just an implied threat. So she's not covered in glory. And I dare say she will apologise for making that much famed Rivers of Wheat speech. which had such a horrible effect on the nation's climate politically.
Felicity, how do you stand on this as a visitor to these shores?
A visitor? How dare you? I'm an immigrant. It's hard to stomach that all of these landing cards were just destroyed in an office move. I'm assuming that the Home Office were just moving further to the right. And when I first heard about Theresa May, I was like, oh my God, she's really going to give it to whoever was Home Secretary in 2010. And then I realised it was her. I'm like, this is like an Eddie Murphy movie. She's just playing every part.
It does remind you of that. Do you remember that old joke where someone say, oh, my mum had to go home? And you go, do you make her? Like, no, our horrible government did.
Michael, how do you feel about this?
Theresa May actually has found another Home Secretary to blame for, and it's not even a Labour one, because while she was in the Commons this week, she actually said, the decision was taken in 1971 not to require the Windrush generation to have documentation. That's what led to the problem we see now. So there you go. That is the real culprit. It's Reginald Maudling, who was Home Secretary in 1971. And all I can say is I really hope she will order him to come to Parliament to explain himself. Admittedly, he did die in 1979, but I hope she won't take any excuses. I think Reginald Maudling has got a lot of questions to answer, and if he has to answer them by Ouija board, then so be it.
Idea that this is all a big surprise is just unravelling because of all these warnings that they've had, and that the Home Office was actually giving guidelines, helpful travel guides to people it was throwing out of the country, the Spiteful Planet Guide. put on a Jamaican accent when we send you to Jamaica. Now, if they haven't got a Jamaican accent and they've got a British accent, what does that tell you about these people? It's like when they send gay people back to Iran and say, oh, for God's sake, just try not to camp up, you know. Just go around eyeing up birds going, phew, ain't I would, ain't wallet, and then they might not kill you.
Do you think this must be incredibly frustrating for Theresa May? I don't think she's racist. She just assumes the entire British public is racist, and therefore she says these things in the hope of winning votes. So, I mean, behind closed doors right now, she must be saying, there is no bloody pleasing you people, is there? You all told me you wanted me to kick out the foreigners, and then when I kick out the foreigners, you get angry and tell me I've got to bring back the foreigners. Even the Daily Mail is saying I've got to bring back the foreigners. Would you make your minds up?
These are the problems being faced by the Windrush generation, who, as a result of reforms introduced by Theresa May when she was Home Secretary, now face repeated requests to prove their right to remain and have, in some cases, been deported despite being British citizens. In fairness, Theresa May was a completely different person back then, one who still had hope. Many people now face having to prove that they've lived in the UK for the past 50 years. If I had to prove I've lived in the UK my whole life, I'd have trouble. I went totally off-grid between 1999 and 2002, living off the land, communing with the earth, brawling with farmhands and car parks for money. Better days, simpler times. Theresa May recently apologised to Caribbean leaders. Jamaica Prime Minister Andrew Holness said he accepted the apology but found it uncomfortable when she tried to ingratiate herself by donning a Rasta wig and downing three bottles of reggae sauce before muttering something uncertain about UB40. After all this, Theresa May further slipped down the list of Britain's best-loved Mays. She was already below James May and Brian May and has now sunk below the May in the sentence, "Your test results may suggest the presence of syphilis." Two points to Jeremy. Kerry, who shot first and asked questions later?
We had a debate in Parliament on... I wasn't there, we didn't. but there was a debate in Parliament on Monday, I think, about the Syrian airstrikes. Theresa May claimed that she had to bypass Parliament because the military needed to act quickly and decisively. She wasn't fully clear why. Maybe there was a best before date on some of our missiles, but... She says that she had to avoid a parliamentary debate because she didn't want to call MPs back from Easter recess. Fair enough. No one wants to see Boris Johnson on a chocolate cream egg downer. But they had a very fierce debate. And you don't need a soothsayer to know what Jeremy Corbyn's going to say about bombing the Middle East in cahoots with the USA. He's not going to want it, is he? So he said that Parliament needed to assert its authority over this UK military action. But his wrath is always a little bit meek. It always sort of has this sort of vibe of a supply teacher that's been locked in a glue cupboard. Let me out, guys! And then he said that she takes orders from the White House, but that's ridiculous because everyone, you know, Trump doesn't know anything about international politics. He thinks Syria is the voice-activated lady friend in his iPhone. anyway, she said it was a humanitarian act, but the problem... It's very difficult to believe... that because there's no evidence of her demonstrating humanitarian interests or compassion in any other context. she does seem in the main exasperated by humans.
The problem is with these situations is that if you say, well, that's not a very good idea, then the people who want to do it just say, what's your alternative? And you think, it's not incumbent, just because you're doing something really weird and stupid, it doesn't mean I've got to suggest another displacement activity to stop you from... Just don't do that thing. You could come into the kitchen in the middle of the night and find your partner ramming a spatula into themselves and say, what the hell are you doing? They say, well, what's your alternative?
What about the whisk?
Maybe the teaspoon, there'll be less bloodshed.
I don't know.
Or maybe just don't put any kitchenware in your bottom at all. Just a suggestion. Because the thing is, whenever we get involved in the Middle East, it just doesn't go very well.
No, that's and
the...
we've got previous on it anyway.
We've got incredible previous. We deposed the democratic regime of Mossadegh in Iran in the mid-50s because he nationalised the Anglo-Iranian oil company, now BP. We installed the Shah. That went well. That provoked a revolution which was taken over by Islamists. That meant that the West had to build up Saddam Hussein to counter the threat from Iran. That meant that we then had to have a war with him. That meant that that turned into a basket case which created ISIL. That spilled over into the whole of the Middle East, and now welcome to 2018. But really, it's the French to blame because they had Syria; it was one of theirs. Whereas after World War I, they got Syria and Lebanon, and we got Palestine, which we dealt with very well.
I don't know if anyone saw this clip, but there was a big protest outside Parliament against the airstrikes, and it was held by the Stop the War group. And a guy from ITN went down to interview protesters. And there was this woman there, a British woman, who just refused to accept that Assad had ever done anything wrong. She was saying, he's a good man, he's not a murderer, he's never murdered anyone. He wouldn't do that. He's a qualified doctor, for goodness sake. And I thought, I wonder what she made of Harold Shipman. He's a good man, we all make mistakes.
I really love when there's a bit of anti-war process because I know that Jeremy Corbyn is just in his element. Like, it's the good old days for him. He is so close to just whacking on a pair of flares and going into work and opening with, I believe it was Edwin Starr that said, war, ugh. What is it good for? Absolutely nothing. It's days away. Days away. I just think it's really good that we have such a strict moral compass when it comes to chemical weapons, that we've drawn the line, that we said if we're going to kill civilians accidentally, let's just do it with guns and tanks, kill regular people the regular way, you know?
Exactly. You don't want to see anyone's eyes watering when you've blown them to pieces, do you?
Makes it very hard to sleep the next day, doesn't it?
There is genuinely a problem with Corbyn's idea, though, because Corbyn's saying going to war shouldn't be a decision for a prime minister, it should be taken by a majority of MPs in Parliament, which sounds fine on the face of it. But I'm just thinking, what happens when Jeremy Corbyn is prime minister? Let's say something happens abroad and a majority of MPs are saying, oh, well, we've got to go to war here, and Jeremy Corbyn presumably would be opposed to that. But on the other hand, he'll say, well, out of principle, out of support for parliamentary democracy, yeah, we've got to go ahead. I'm going to launch these missiles that I totally oppose. I think it's disgusting what I'm doing. I've got blood in my hands. This is horrible. And as soon as he's signed off the airstrikes, he's going to march straight out to Parliament Square and start protesting against himself and his pathetic leadership and demanding his own resignation.
Well, that would be a coherent position.
This was the two-day Commons debate about whether we should initiate airstrikes against Syria, held just 4 days after the airstrikes took place. The Prime Minister argued that there isn't always time to consult about these things, because whereas the US can launch missiles at the touch of a button, ours currently have to be delivered by parcel force and take ages to wrap. We bombed you today, but you were out. During the debate, Andrew Bridgen MP said that Jeremy Corbyn wouldn't authorise military intervention even if the Isle of Wight were invaded, his point possibly over-relying on the assumption that any of us would notice or indeed care. The UN security team who were sent to Douma ahead of the weapons inspectors were shot at, according to a chemical weapons watchdog. If you've never seen Chemical Weapons Watchdog, you absolutely must. It's just like normal watchdog, but Anne Robinson is in a hazmat suit and Nikki Campbell is dead. There are concerns that Russia may have tampered with the evidence in Douma. I don't know how you've dispersed the evidence of a chemical attack, but I imagine it involves a Glade plug-in, an open window, and an awful lot of wafting. 2 points to Kerry. Michael, which upper chamber, briefly, has the upper hand?
This is the House of Lords. They have had a big debate about Brexit and voted that the government should think again about leaving the EU customs union. And I have to say, I was personally very disappointed to hear this because up till then, you know, I think we'd gone 2 whole weeks without any news of Brexit at all. And it was brilliant, you know. 2 whole weeks. I mean, the world just seemed a happier place and the clouds parted and the sun shone and I felt 18 years old again. It was great. And now these lords, these unelected lords, have ruined all that. They've insisted on having a vote on it, and now the news is full of Brexit again and everything's boring. And I just think, you know, it doesn't matter what you think about Brexit. You know, if you support Brexit, you oppose Brexit. I think we can all agree that everyone is bored of it. But then suddenly, just over Easter, we had this couple of weeks where it came true and we didn't hear about it. And the news was just filled with all these much more, you know, lighter, more fun subjects like bombing Syria. And it was great. And now here we are again.
Jesus rose from the dead. That was nice. But it was a fascinating debate, because the thing is, the House of Lords now looks like our best hope in this country. That's the weird thing, because Nigel Lawson, who's the BBC's chief environment correspondent, he basically said that I must warn my fellow peers that we are an unelected house. And I thought, well, so what? My house is unelected, but it's the only one I've got, frankly. And that's not even true, because it's a flat.
He got fantastically angry, didn't he, Lawson, in there? He looks amazing. You can't, once he gets that angry, you can't even tell if it's his face you're looking at or not. It just looks like someone's dropped a wig on one of the big red bonkettes.
You shouldn't lose that much weight. If you're when you're really fat up until your sort of 50s, 60s, you're meant to be that fat. And if you lose that weight then...
What happens?
Well, I mean, it's like when they... If you have to have your testicles removed, they put a hard-boiled egg in. Because otherwise... Because otherwise, your scrotum just sort of, like, gets sucked in and just looks all...
Can't they use something else?
I'm guessing it's a hard-boiled egg. I don't know.
No, that would be impractical. Sort of that would be... Yeah, that so wouldn't be a like-for-like replacement, I don't think. Perhaps some two sort, quail eggs.
It might be a Kinder egg.
A couple of sugared almonds.
Yeah.
So what does this mean, then? Brexit's off?
Yeah,
yes,
basically.
That's definitely what it means. Okay. It's all over.
That was all right, then. That was
This is the news that the House of Lords have inflicted a defeat on the government over membership of the EU Customs Union. The Lords will now pass this legislation back to the Commons, who will then pass it back to the Lords, who will then pass it back to the Commons again, because the one thing you don't want this process being crippled by is any sense of urgency. For any foreign listeners who might not be familiar with the House of Lords, I should explain that it's a place where you can see futile gestures in their natural habitat. David Davis issued a statement which essentially said that it didn't matter what the Lord said because we're leaving the customs union anyway, displaying all the breezy self-confidence of your dad on a family holiday, refusing to accept directions for the third time. What's the worst that can happen? I say we can start new lives in Tintagel. Also this week, we found out that Brexit is projected to cost the British economy £600 million a week. If I may repeat the words I scream at my wife to win any domestic argument, that is a small price to pay for sovereignty. 2 points to Michael. Felicity, who is prepared to walk rather than talk?
Kim Jong-un and Donald Trump. What a meeting of the mindless. Just amazing stuff. I'm wondering if Kim Jong-un is going to bring Dennis Rodman along just for the first date, just to break the ice. You know when girls go on a date and they bring a girlfriend along so it seems a bit more casual? And then if Kim Jong-un does like Trump, then he can do the second date just by themselves. They can have, like, romantic boat rides and take, like, selfies in front of defunct nuclear weapons and, you know, girl stuff.
And they'll be saying... Kim Jong-un will be saying to Rodman, do you think he likes me? And Rodman will say, I think he likes you.
Yeah.
I think he really likes you.
Just send him an eggplant emoji.
It does seem very strange that an American president would agree to meet with the leader of North Korea. I mean, do we think there is any chance that Trump has got this mixed up and thinks we're all talking about North Carolina or something like that?
Do you think he could be walking into a trap?
I hope so.
That would be quite funny if they just take him hostage and keep him in one of their gulags and the Americans just sort of go, oh, let him back, please. We'll put sanctions on all your Worcester sauce exports.
Imagine newsreaders, even professional newsreaders, attempting to conceal, keep a straight face, reporting... Donald Trump has been... he's got a what? He's gone to... I can hardly... He's been captured.
Look, the bloke can't keep his hair under control on a windy day. He can't blend his foundation with his under-eye cream. And he's got a wife. I know a man with a hairy nose, and he's got a wife. I'm like, you need to tell your husband he's got a hairy nose.
Who is this?
Melania needs to tell Trump to blend his cream into his under-eye cream. This is chaos.
She doesn't know. She tries not to look at his face.
Do you think this is the sort of thing that he'll discuss with Kim Jong-un? Do you think maybe...
What, the makeup?
Maybe he's the guy to do it. Maybe he doesn't really listen. I don't want to hear it from you. I want to hear it from another despot. That's what I want. No,
does Kim speak English?
Donald?
I honestly don't know the answer to that question.
Because if he doesn't, then the translator could have all sorts of fun with him, couldn't he?
He said he loves you.
Mr. President.
He said, hold me.
This is Donald Trump's planned summit with North Korean leader Kim Jong-un, although Trump has said he will walk out if talks are not fruitful. They'll need to find the right place for Trump and Kim to meet. I recommend they bring in Phil and Kirsty. Always thought that location would benefit from the jeopardy of a possible execution. The president stressed that if talks were not fruitful, he would respectfully leave. We must remember that his personal yardstick of what constitutes a respectful exit potentially includes a corridor strewn with cheeseburger wrappers and discarded pornographic actresses who are suddenly and inexplicably wealthier. Prospective Secretary of State Mike Pompeo has already had a secret meeting with Kim. Usual sort of thing. Travelodge on a slip road, booking in as a married couple. Next morning at breakfast, spot a bloke who looks like Terry from Regional. Hide your face behind a croissant. 2 points to Felicity. And at the end of round one, the scores are Jeremy and Kerry have 4, and so too do Michael and Felicity. We start round two with a flight update sent by EasyJet.
We're sorry for the delay to your flight. This is due to arrival restrictions because of poo weather conditions.
Thanks to Matthew Cruddington for sending us that. Jeremy, have a listen to this. Why? Because they're plastic, plastic, y'all. Plastic, plastic, y'all. Plastic, plastic, y'all. Plastic, shake it up over here. Plastic. Jeremy, who likes the taste of waste?
There's an enzyme which feeds off of plastic, which is great for anyone who's thought about keeping an enzyme as a pet and has wondered what to feed it, you know. The trouble is that there is this big war on plastic, and it would be much easier if we just sort of stopped using plastic, like if we stopped buying bottled water, for example. Now, Felicity's badly messed up this thing because she's brought a plastic bottle onto the stage despite the fact that we've been given paper cups.
Don't worry, I've also brought the enzyme.
It's like plastic bags in... I mean, there was a time they started bringing in biodegradable... Sainsbury's had very good biodegradable shopping bags that broke down naturally as you lifted them out of the car. But, I mean, hopefully, what will happen... Because this enzyme, it will... Because when you recycle plastic, I just imagined that they just sort of rinsed it out and used it again, or, like, melted it in a big furnace. Somebody in the north of England, you know. which is a boon to the local economy, because they've all been very poor since the old fish mines closed. But you don't. You see, every time you recycle plastic, it gets more and more useless, and that's why they end up making it into sort of rugs and things like that. Whereas what this enzyme does is it breaks it down into its molecular building blocks, which means you can start it all over again.
What is an enzyme?
Don't know.
This is tremendously exciting news, though, isn't it? I mean, honestly, if you've been following the enzyme game for as long as I have, you will know this is pretty big news. I mean, I love an enzyme, but this plucky little chap, he's already marched straight into my personal top 40.
If they do need, like, bulk plastic to do some research, they can just come around to my house because I've got 600 Chinese plastic takeaway containers and only 7 lids. Like, I'm all for getting rid of single-use plastic. I'm sure if you've been on the internet, you can see there's lists everywhere. And they're always very helpful suggestions, like carry your own water tank around with you.
Yeah. Why not wander around completely dehydrated?
Ask the barista to pour the coffee straight into your mouth.
We never used to get dehydrated, though. This is a new thing, though. We used to go for hours.
That is such an old person
it's
thing
true.
To do.
People didn't used to walk around carrying water with them. But now people are obsessed with it. It's like you see joggers out. You know, better carry some water because half an hour in a freezing recreation ground without hydration, I'll be looking like Malcolm Muggeridge's scrotum, won't I?
That is the best in my day I have ever heard. In my day.
day, we used to just find a puddle and lick it. I don't know what these people are going on about with their water out of the taps, and scurvy was just a part of the conversation.
Have you always been anti-liquid, Jeremy, or is it something that's got worse as you've got older?
Do you know what? I like a solid and I don't mind a gas. I like liquids, but they don't like me.
These are the efforts of a team of scientists from the University of Portsmouth and the US Department of Energy who have come up with an enzyme that eats a particular kind of plastic waste. The discovery was actually a pretty tense day at the lab, as one of the scientists remembers greeting the discovery with the words, "Well, I'm glad you found a new enzyme, Geoffrey, but where's all my Tupperware gone?" Now all we need to do is accidentally discover an enzyme that eats overflowing dog shit bins and we're golden. In other plastic news... straws and cotton buds could be banned in England as part of the government's bid to cut plastic waste, which means that within months I could be forced to drink my post-show Harvey Wallbanger through a paper straw. Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the third world. 2 points to Jeremy. Kerry, who has been saved by a Belgian waffle?
A doctor in Belgium wrote a sick note that got a woman out of her gym membership contract, OK? Because her contract for a gym was like €70... a month, 60-odd quid, and it was for 40 years. And he said... he was acting in a sort of social capacity, and he said, right, I'm going to get you out of this contract. And then the Belgium Congress of Gymnasiums, right, they're livid about this, and they said, where's this going to end? Because if doctors can write notes that gets people out of contracts that they've changed their mind on, that could go anywhere, couldn't it? It could be broadband contracts or phone contracts. But I think, why not? That would be... if my doctor could get me out of my phone contract, I'd be over the moon, because people change. Humans are in constant flux. You sign a contract saying, I want to join a gym, I'm going to get fit, I want 40,000 free texts a minute, and then you think, oh, we're all going to die anyway, and I've only got 3 mates. So, you know... and anyway, don't join a gym in Belgium, because then you get fitter and you might live longer, but then you'll be living longer in Belgium, won't you? So... I don't know. I don't get gym membership anyway. It's very weird. I've never understood how a bike can become more expensive by being nailed to the floor.
Something I found a bit confusing about this story, the doctor said that the woman had an infection in her middle ear, which really confused me because, I mean, I don't know about you, but I've got one ear on my left, one ear on my right. Where the hell is the middle one?
Are you a member of a gym?
Yeah. It's above a Chinese takeaway. So if you go in at sort of 3 o'clock in the afternoon, you're sort of pounding away on the treadmill thinking, oh, I tell you what we should have tonight. So sort of stuck in a sort of Sisyphean task, essentially, sort of continually running towards another Chinese takeaway.
I'm not a member. I went to a gym briefly, but they shout at you. If you go to a class...
were you in the wrong changing room, Gary?
the instructors...
just went into the shower. All these naked men running at me saying, you're not meant to be here, you're not meant to be here.
I don't go to gyms, but I swim over here, and you have something over here called women's only swimming, and it's a beautiful invention where only women are allowed to get in the pool and stand each side of the divider and then just talk to each other in the middle of the lane. They shouldn't be about speeds, the lane. They should be graded on self-awareness.
Yes.
Like, I'm a full feminist, but by the end of women's only swimming, I'm just about ready to join a men's rights activist group, honestly. Do you know, in Australia, we have signs that say freestyle only and no breaststroke. It is very, very strict in Australia.
Freestyle? What's that? People moonwalking?
Front crawl. No, front crawl. It's called front crawl over here,
you
isn't it?
You call it freestyle?
The rest of the world calls it freestyle. don't all look
well,
at me. I've had this conversation
one day,
with...
Felicity, they will catch up.
I know.
I thought that you could just improvise at that point. You can use a boat or something if you want to.
Yeah.
I went to adult swimming classes, and the trouble is, when you ever go to adult classes for anything, most people who go to them are people who can already do it, and they go to classes just to humiliate all the genuine learners. And there would be, like, 3 or 4 lithe people doing butterfly, which nobody can do, unless they're a wind-up thing in a bath. And at the shallow end was me and 400 dinner ladies.
This is the latest from Belgium. Stay with me. where a doctor has been cleared of malpractice after he wrote a patient a medical note excusing her from her gym membership because he felt she wouldn't be able to pay the bill. The doctor said he was acting in his social role. Not sure I want my doctor to have a social role. Nobody should have to share a tray of vol-au-vents with someone who's examined their prostate. The woman's contract costs £60 a month, which sounds like a lot, but it depends how many towels you steal. If you really want to get out of a gym membership, I suggest untethering all the bikes before a spin class, then watching as they speed forward and break the noses on the glass at the front. 2 points to Kerry. Michael, have a listen to this. Magic me once, won't let you trick me twice, no. Magic me once, won't let you trick me twice. Good, right?
That really tickled me.
Michael, whose secrets are about to disappear?
I think this is David Copperfield, as in the American magician rather than the Dickensian urchin boy. He is being sued by a British guy who was in the audience for his magic show. And the guy was asked to go up on stage to take part in a trick. And the guy said he'd sustained some kind of serious injury while taking part in it. So he's suing David Copperfield. And so David Copperfield has been in court, and he's having to explain in court how his magic trick really works, because believe it or not, it's not magic. So he had to give away his magical secrets as part of the case. And I mean, I don't know how it's going to go. I don't think the case is over yet. But I have to say, I don't know how wise it is to sue a magician, because, I mean, the guy could be a hypnotist, you know, and you could be sitting there in the court thinking, yes, we've got him banged to rights, he hasn't got a leg to stand on. And then the head of the jury stands up and says, we find the defendant extremely handsome. I don't know, it just seems a risk to me.
What the trick was, the guy got hurt because he made him disappear, and what happened was the bloke was on the stage and then he made him reappear in another part of the theatre, and I already guessed that he'd gone backstage and down a passage and up some steps into another part of the theatre, which isn't really much of a trick, is it, really? That's like walking. But apparently, because they made him go really quickly, so people think, wow, how did that happen? That he must have been walking really fast, either that or he's genuinely a wizard. But they were sort of bundling the bloke down and he fell over and had an injury. It is disappointing when you find out how magic tricks are done. Because if you ever know anyone who's a magician and they finally admit something to you, you go, oh, that's like the plastic thumb. It's just so disappointing. Magic is so... I can't tell you because...
What do you mean about the plastic thumb?
There's a plastic thumb. And that's all I'm saying.
I fully believe in the plastic thumb.
There's a plastic thumb.
I like magic.
Magic is...
Not a lot. Why is this case taking so long? Why does it take this long to say it's just a trapdoor, mate?
Well, it's more than that, because I don't know if you've had the chance to watch this excellent trick, but they're suspended on a platform. They're above the stage by about 6 feet.
Yeah.
Somehow they disappear from inside there. Yes, they did a bit when they run through the tunnel. That's fairly obvious, but they don't know how people are getting there. So he's obviously got to explain the intricacy of it. He could just
wires,
get on with it. But
wires. It's wires.
Why are you asking Miles? That is not David Copperfield.
We can sort this out here. We can fix it.
What do you think the wires are doing?
Holding him up.
Do you think they... Yeah, no, you've not. Well... There's like a platform with some people on.
Right.
And they're looking there, and you can see under the platform, and the curtain goes over them, big sheet.
Yep.
And then the curtain disappears, and they've gone.
Trapdoor.
Yeah, but the platform... Oh, there's a bit where you can see...
We'll
this is why
picture.
He sells tickets, because there's nothing...
I think it's just going to be heartbreaking that David Copperfield can't use, like, his tricks in court, where they'll say stuff like, Mr. Copperfield, you seem to have painted yourself into a corner, and then he'll look to the crowd and say... I have a little something up my sleeve. And then the defendant will say, Mr. Copperfield, that's just 25 handkerchiefs. Yeah. It's got absolutely nothing to do with this trial.
Why is the room full of doves?
Was he the one who lived in the glass box?
That's David Blaine.
Oh, there's more than one.
David, yes.
This one was married to Claudia Schiffer, I think. I don't know when, the 90s maybe, something like that.
Oh, everyone was married to Claudia Schiffer in the 90s.
Oh, God, it was an exhausting time, wasn't it, Jeremy? This is the American illusionist David Copperfield, who may be forced to reveal to a court in Nevada the secrets behind his magic, after a British man brought a lawsuit against him, claiming to have been injured in the course of one of his tricks. Only the jury will find out how the trick was performed, but for those 12 people, their sense of wonder will be destroyed forever. He'd probably have preferred a murder. I just thank God that Tommy Cooper died before he had to reveal where all those glass bottles came from. If he loses the case, Copperfield could be sentenced to incarceration in a glass box, filled with water, wearing handcuffs, with only 30 seconds to escape. 2 points to Michael. Felicity, who's being chicken about handling meat?
Oh, I thought I was going to get a song. I was like, ooh, which one's going to be?
Yeah, what would you like? What would you like us to sing for you, Felicity?
Something by Cher.
Ooh, love can build a bridge.
What song is that?
It's called Love Can Build a Bridge. And
didn't
it
realize...
is a load. From a purely structural point of view, it is a lie.
A lot of people died on that bridge. it's come out that millennials don't want to touch raw chicken, and so Sainsbury's are going to develop the unfortunately named touch-free meat. That's what they're going with. That's what they're putting on their packets. It's something like 37% of millennials were afraid to touch raw meat, which explains the low birth rates at the moment. And... It's touch-free. It's like Bluetooth. My husband's a millennial, and when we first started going out, we went on a romantic trip to Paris for a couple of days. It was very romantic. And on the last night, we ate some street chicken, and then we went back to the hotel, and then we participated in a high combat game tag team of food poisoning from chicken. And what I'm saying is I am very much for touch-free chicken now. Very, very much. I don't understand why millennials, what they don't understand about handling raw chicken. Like, two rules, wash your hands afterwards, try not to lick it. Fair enough?
What can you expect of people who are less than 1,000 years old, eh? They don't know they're born.
What is the cut-off point for a millennial?
I think 1981 is where it starts.
Okay.
From then on, because it used to be Generation Y, and then that sort of got absorbed into millennial. There was Gen Y and Gen Z for a while, and then that just got turned into...
This is foreboding. Like, we started too near the end of the alphabet, didn't we?
I know. It's like when you start singing Happy Birthday too high, and by the time you get to the middle bit, you're like, Happy Birthday! And everyone's looking at each other like trying to get through it, but they know that they've ruined it.
I love millennials.
Why?
I'd love to be. I don't know. There's something really endearing about them. Like, at first, everyone was scared of them, weren't they? Because we just thought, oh, they're really alarming and they're all wanking on the dark web. But now.
We all thought that.
And then we realised that they're very compassionate and they're brave. I mean, this is the Me Too generation, so they don't want to touch meat. And and they like eating food from different platforms, don't they? They like eating food probably in a pouch. This is in a pouch, isn't it? It's a meat pouch, which sounds like a euphemism. But it's a little pouch, so they tip it. It's called a tip and...
Yeah, you peel the top bit open and then it just sort of falls out like a...
Like a sort of meat banana.
Yeah.
I guess that's what it is, I suppose. You can empty
its contents. I'm really upset about a meat banana.
Why?
It's really upsetting,
I mean, it is a slightly upsetting combination of words, isn't it, actually?
The thing is, if they're that scared of touching raw chicken... I mean, these are the people who are going to be looking after us when we're in care homes in the next 4 or 5 years.
Yes, who's going to wash all the raw chicken off you, Jeremy? This is the decision of Sainsbury's to start selling chicken in hands-free packaging because, according to product development manager Catherine Hall, young people don't like handling raw meat. Come on, young people, if you don't like touching raw meat, how are you going to cope in the future when the only job you can get is sorting chlorinated duck carcasses for your Chinese masters? Of course, it's only young people who have this problem. Older people, mad for the touch of raw chicken. I had an aunt who used to carry a lump of it around with her at all times, kneading it like a stress ball. But I don't think we should see this as generational or even a class issue. Nobody likes to touch raw meat. That is why venison comes with its own handles. The product is marketed as chicken in a pouch, but the joke's on them. The pouch is made of raw lamb. When I want a bit of me time, I often drape a raw chicken breast over each eye to reduce puffiness, combat wrinkles, and bring on a 3-day festival of both ends evacuation, during which I can lose up to 2 stone, and I have to say... I feel like a new me. 2 points to Felicity. Before we reveal the final scores, has anybody got a cutting that they'd like to share? Jeremy.
Miles, Ali Goodworth saw this article in the Mirror about the dangers of a new craze where kids are playing with super strong magnets at school. I believe they should definitely be banned, as they have been in America, said one concerned mother. These magnets are extra powerful and come in different colours, and clearly kids are going to be attracted to them.
Kerry.
This was sent in by Robert Humler. He found this book in his acupuncturist's waiting room. It's called Live Well, Live Long, Teachings from the Chinese Nourishment of Life Tradition by Peter Deadman.
Michael.
Jeremy Ferguson and Johnny Munn from Western Australia saw this on the ABC News website. Tasmania's Labour leader says she will not deselect a candidate who photographed himself with a mobile phone between his buttocks. Opposition Liberal MP Michael Ferguson condemned the incident as lewd, crude and disgusting. What this revelation has shown, he said, is the fact that Labour don't have a strong team and there are cracks appearing.
Makes me a little bit homesick.
Felicity.
I found something on the BBC News website. It's an article announcing that Tom Daley and his partner Dustin Black are expecting a child. The couple have not released any more details about the pregnancy, including whether or not a surrogate is involved.
Thank you. And now let's take a look at the final score. Jeremy and Kerry have 4, and so too do Michael and Felicity. Before we leave you, here is an email received by Claire Riley from Yorkshire Sculpture Park.
The event, Outdoor Sculpture, Come Rain or Shine, has been cancelled due to bad weather.
Over that, goodbye.
Taking part in the news quiz were Jeremy Hardy, Kerry Godleman, Michael Deakin and Felicity Ward. And the chair was Miles Jupp, and the news was read by me, Corey Caulfield. The chair script was written by James Kettle, Jenny LaBille and Benjamin Partridge, with additional material by Laura Major, Mike Shepherd and Michael Stranney. The producer was Joe Nunnery, and it was a BBC Studios production.